Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today's episode is part of the new edition of the Love Osho podcast dedicated to sannyasins who did not meet Osho in the body. Today our guest is Ma Prem Karin. Karin was born in 1983 in Detmold, Germany and presently lives in the UK. Karin is a chef and cookbook author and took sannyas in 1987, aged 4. Karin, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you for the introduction. I feel very honored to be invited into this interview.
So you took sannyas when you were 4 years old and Osho was still in the body, but you never met him in person. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you take sannyas?
My mum and stepfather were living in Germany at the time, and they were traveling to Zurich to go to the sannyas center there for regular workshops, as well as my father, actually. And they started establishing a relationship with the community and then took sannyas themselves in Zurich. So with a letter from Pune, with their name in the letter. And I wanted to be part of the tribe. I wanted a mala as well. And I said, I want to take sannyas. And they said, okay. And so they helped me, you know, write the application. Or well, they wrote the application for me. And I received my letter on the 4th of November, 1987. And that's my sannyas birthday.
Okay, so at 4 years of age, you were quite determined. I mean, you already made your voice heard and said, you know, I want to take sannyas. But as you grew up, we mentioned you never met Osho. So did you ever want to see him in person? You had some kind of 7 years window.
Yeah, that's right. No, I didn't have that kind of consciousness. To be honest, I don't remember anything of that time because I was four. I don't know, maybe some people remember what happened when they were four, but I don't remember any of it. I just saw photos and I was told what happened, but I don't actually remember. I didn't feel like I saw him, you know, or I heard a voice or anything like that. I guess I just wanted to be part of the tribe that all the rest of my family were in.
Okay, and then I understand that as a child you went to the famous Osho Course One school in the UK. We mentioned this school in various episodes, especially the one with Manan, who was a teacher there. How going to the sannyas school influenced your life?
Oh my goodness. I would say going to Osho Course One school totally set up my whole life. And I am still digesting that experience because I went there when I was 8 till I was 16. And it was quite wild, as you can imagine. In the beginning, there were 80 kids, you know, teachers and kids all living together, cooking and cleaning together and managing schooling and whatnot. And that was quite intense, as you can imagine, and also incredibly lively. But I had to change from living just with my stepfather and my mom at home to living with 80 crazy people and fun people. And it was a huge adjustment, which I managed to somehow incorporate into my life. And I managed to stay there. And I was there for 8 years learning a whole lot of things, not so much from the school side of things, but from the interpersonal relationships and, you know, learning how to take responsibility for yourselves, to clean up after yourselves, to take care of your stuff.
What did you like the most about the school and what the most important lesson you learned?
Yeah. So when I left the school, I met obviously lots of people who hadn't been to that school, which was new to me. I was living in a bubble. And I've been noticing over the many years now that something that the kids learned when they were at Osho Coast One School was to really live together. And I think that is incredibly invaluable. And that's something you cannot pay you can't get that from anywhere else. You have to go through the dirty business of learning to live with other people yourself in order to learn that. And I find that incredibly invaluable. I'm glad to feel like I can be flexible and adjust and open-minded and accept differences. Yeah, community living, basically. The parents of us kids, they thought Coast One School was like an island of heaven on earth. But little did they know, this is where, you know, the shit went down. This is when the dirty stuff happened, the business of being human and living together. And it's invaluable. You learn a lot. You learn about your boundaries. You learn respect, compassion. It's it was a very special way to grow up, basically, to get into the world. But I also learned that it was definitely a bubble, and it's very good to incorporate the rest of the world into one's life afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, Osho's message was always and is always to not just take refuge in the cave and just meditate and escape the world, but bring meditation in the real world. So I guess
that's it. Yes, exactly. Actually, that is one of the most awesome things that we learned there, that everything can be a meditation, whether it's cooking or cleaning or playing with your friends, that everything is a meditation. And I think that's a huge gift. That's definitely what the teachers practiced. And also, I felt like they had such an open-minded yes to life. And that's definitely something that I take from that school, that ability to say, yes, let's try it. See what happens.
Yes, being open to life, you know, it's a big, big attitude, a very positive attitude. So what sorts of personal issues did Osho and meditation or being in the school or Sanya school help you deal with the most in your life?
Well, they did offer the kids to participate in the meditations that the adults were doing. And I have to say that teenagers are not interested in meditating at all. But little tiny things kind of seep through. And it was common knowledge that if you were angry, it's a good idea to shout into a pillow or punch a pillow instead of a person. And different ways of dealing with those intense emotions. But I have to say that actually when I was growing up in that kind of Osho environment, I was at some point rebelling against those ideas of, you know, just shake your body out and, you know, then you'll be fine. It's like I kind of froze and didn't want to do any of that. And it was only in my 20s when I discovered dance, conscious dance, that I discovered my ability to shake and let loose and use my body to express my emotions. So I feel like the seeds were planted when I was little, but I rebelled against them for a long time until I found them myself. And then I'm still fully using that practice now.
That's wonderful. And I think it's very much part of Osho's teachings. You know, he was saying that we have to rebel. And in your case, because you have, if you like, the sannyas conditioning, you had to rebel against it to then make it your own.
And I did such a good job at it, too. I was smoking cigarettes and eating Mars bars, and I wasn't doing any yoga, any meditation, like nothing. And I just felt so utterly awful, physically, mentally, emotional. It was just horrendous. I was in a total dump. And that's when I decided to like leave Europe and move to Australia and start a new life and learn how to care for my body, mind, and soul. Thank goodness.
Let's talk a little bit about your biggest passion in life, which is cooking and healthy living, healthy eating. So how did that come about?
Yeah, well, actually, now that, you know, we're putting it into this context, it's very interesting because my mum and stepfather became vegetarian when I was 2. So I grew up totally vegetarian. And then I went to Osho Koswan school and I did not have any parents there to take care of what I eat. But it was a vegetarian school, but, you know, we were left to our own devices. So from the age of 8 to 16, whenever I could, I would, you know, rebel against all that healthy vegetarian food. And I never, ever ate meat, but I ate a lot of sugar to compensate. And I really went down. And that's why when I went to Australia to look for a new home and you make a new life somewhere, I was really excited about how healthy the Australians are. And just in general, they hardly anyone smoked and ate lots of vegetables and lots of outdoor activity. And that's when I decided I'm leaving Europe and everything behind that I know, and I'm going to start a new life. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to try to get off the sugar and start exercising and moving. And yeah, I was 19, and that was in 2002. And that's when it all started with the healthy lifestyle, actually.
Then it developed into your profession and also led you to write a book about healthy eating.
Yeah, because when I grew up at Osho Koswan School, we had lots of healthy food, but I have to say it wasn't quite as adventurous and exciting as it is nowadays, you know? Nowadays, I mean, no one knew about green smoothies. No one even knew about smoothies back then, or bliss balls, or raw cakes, or healthy cakes, or anything like that when I was little. It was quite, in a way, bland. You know, I'm really sorry, the teachers did a really good job, but as kids you want specific things, and it was very difficult to eat a lot of brown rice and vegetables. And so when I discovered that one can make healthy and delicious things at the same time, I just got so excited about it that I started writing these recipes down, because I thought, I need to tell the whole world about this. I didn't know you can have a dessert and not get fat or die of heart disease. This is so exciting. And this is how my book started to develop, nearly 15 years ago.
That sounds great. And I think there is a lot of interest nowadays into healthy eating. Cutting down on sugar has become quite prominent. You know, it's quite clear that sugar has deleterious effect on health. And you mentioned that you were eating a lot of sugar.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. And there's so many alternatives you can have. And to discover these things afterwards, you know, is like finding the holy grail. I was like, oh my gosh, I can eat chocolate and it can actually be good for me. So in a way, you know, I have that food at Koswan School to thank, because it inspired my interest in how to eat healthy and deliciously.
Excellent. So the last part of the interview is about the Osho community today. And I really want to hear from people who are with Osho, how they connect to the community, if you're still connected, provided that. But, where do you go for Osho meditation in your area? You are in Australia currently because of the coronavirus. Normally you live in the UK. But is there any Osho community or center in the area where you live?
I know that there is an Osho, a community share land close to here, close to Byron Bay. But I haven't been to the meditations. What I do in terms of the Osho community is I connect with the individuals. So I've been connecting. When I moved to England a couple of years ago, I connected with my teachers from, you know, whom I hadn't seen for 20 plus years from, Koswan times. And some of them still lived in England. So I'd go and visit them and check in with them, how they're going. And I'm like nurturing these one-on-one relationships as well as here. Tomorrow I'm going to see a woman who has a shop here, and she used to be my teacher. And it happens like that all the time. And the other week I was walking at the market and I met a woman who used to also be my teacher. So it's as if there is a web all over the world. And for me, it's more the personal relationship.
Oh, I think that's very beautiful, you know. And how old are you to reconnect with your old teachers? I mean, it's already very emotional when it happened to me in my life with my kind of standard teacher. In your case, considering that it was a special school and there is a whole spiritual element to it, how was it? Is there anything that you would like to share?
Yeah, really good question, because, you know, my father died 10 years ago and my mom died 4 years ago, and I only moved to England 2 years ago. So I, connecting with these teachers from school whom I hadn't seen since I was 13 or so was like going back to my other moms and dads, because in reality, I spend lots more time with them than my actual mom and dad. Because I, you know, I moved to Australia, they lived in Germany. So I never spent much time with them except for these teachers at Coast One School. I knew them so well and they knew me so well. So it was like finding my other parents. It was very, very moving. And yeah, that was only recently. So I wonder how the relationship is going to go. But a couple of them helped me with editing my cookbook. And I've sent them a copy of my book that has been printed in March. So, you know, the connections are unraveling.
That's beautiful that, you know, they helped you kind of complete your project and they're offering you, you know, support also on a practical level and, you know, using their experience and expertise. So what's your favorite Osho place? If you've been to any Osho communes in your life, traveling around, I don't know if you did that, but, you know, what would you say is your favorite place?
Yeah, I've been to a few Osho communities. I can't say about the actual, the inside of the community so much, but I remember the location of this place was, what's it called? It's called Centro Dompio by the Lago di Como or Lago di Orta or something, south of Switzerland, northern Italy. And the location is just beautiful. And it's quite a well-established community that's been going for many, many years. And they have so many workshops. And I remember the kitchen very much. And it was, it was a real machine. It was really working. Lots of people coming, going. Felt good.
Were there sannyas in there? And did you do any Osho meditations there?
Yeah, no. The only time I remember doing Osho meditations was actually in Pune in 1999 in the old Buddha Hall in the ashram. And that was special. I think that was my favorite place ever, the Buddha Hall with the marble floor. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. You mentioned that you are connected to the sannyas community in an individual way and with these teachers you had at school, which is, you know, very beautiful. But what would you say is missing in the sannyas world today?
I think today not so much is missing, actually, to be honest. I feel like back in the days, things were more missing. There was more an us and them kind of atmosphere around being a sannyasin, as if we were, if sannyasins were better. But I feel like that's the past now. I feel like sannyasins are very well integrated, from at least what I've seen, into, you know, normal society or whatever you want to call it. And I think that's really beautiful. I think it's wonderful that people are sharing their astrology and massage and yoga. It's just become more normal. Whereas in the 80s, 90s, it was exotic and kind of super alternative. And now it's more normal. I think it's wonderful. I can't even think about what's needed. Just, I know, maybe just my delicious plant-based gluten-free cookbook is missing in the Osho community.
Hopefully, after the interview, more people will know about it and it will be more part of the community.
Yeah, no, I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a great network of, you know, like-minded people, and it makes me feel at home. I feel there's a sense of being at home when I meet sannyasins, even though I've never met them. Like I got a car from someone here, very kindly offered me his car, and I thought, he seems really familiar, but I never met him before. And then I found out he was a sannyasin. I was like, oh, yeah, Go figure.
It's very refreshing to hear perspective of younger generations of sannyasins and, your very positive outlook. And somehow it's true. I mean, during the Osho times, the sannyasins were really almost, outcast. And then Osho really wanted the sannyasin to go back to the world. And somehow it looks like it has happened or it's happening.
Yeah, I think so from my perspective too. I mean, the only thing that I remember that I was used to get upset about, what my mom used to say, she used to say, when I asked her something, she used to say, oh, but Osho said blah, blah, blah. And I would say, but what do you think? What do you think about this? And that's the only thing that stuck with me. I don't know what other sannyasins are like nowadays, but I like to know what Osho said, but I also want to know what the person thinks and feels about an issue.
That's quite powerful and meaningful. And I think resonates with me because sometimes I feel like it's true. Like there are some people that they just talk through Osho quotes.
Yes.
You ask them something and then they just give you an Osho quote, which is amazing. And, Osho quotes are available, there are books, there are discourses, etc. But it's also important to hear what you digested and you kind of, it's you, it's your personality, your individuality.
I find it's a lot to do with taking responsibility for yourself because it's easy to say the guru said ABC, but I actually think something else, and that's scary. Even for yourself. So I think it's a great responsibility and empowering thing to do, to voice your opinion. And it can be absolutely colored by what Osho said, which is beautiful.
So what would you say personally for you is the biggest lesson you learned from Osho that is helping you in your life today?
I think the biggest positive lesson I learned from Osho is the big yes to life. I pretty much wake up every morning and I am happy to get up and I'm super curious about people and life and I'm usually positive until I get depressed sometimes. But it's the yes to life that I really treasure. I can feel it like just in my belly. It's the sense of, yeah, I'm going to try that. And I think that's what I received from Osho. Yeah, it feels really special to put it into words. No one's really ever interviewed me like this before, and it's giving me goosebumps. It's very sweet.
Oh, and I feel like very, very positive energy, very vibrant, energizing. So this yes to life is oozing out of Skype.
Yeah, I do. I feel very sparkly. Yeah.
We're heading towards the end and I've got one last question for you. You have been around sannyasins for most of your life. You've been to the school of the sannyasins and you're still in contact with them. So you clearly have personal connections. But do you have any questions you would like to put forward to all sannyasins? Or if you don't have a question, is there anything you would like to share and tell them?
Yeah. I would love to know how they experienced, how their lives changed with Osho's presence, whether it was in books or physically. I just love hearing about how people's internal worlds and perceptions of life change by people like Osho and the community around him. I'd just love to know that, but. Yeah, I guess I just need to listen to your podcasts to do that.
That's right. Yeah, that's. I'm very pleased that you asked this question because that's always part of the podcast. It's almost the essence of it. On one hand, it's collecting the real stories of the people who live with Osho. It has like a historical element to it. But then it's trying to understand how meeting Osho changed their life. So, yeah, that's very much part of it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. You're welcome. I mean, I would love to know what he used to eat, but no one's ever talked about what he ate. But I'd love to know what he had for breakfast, lunch or dinner or snacks, because I'm a foodie and I love knowing what people eat and how they eat and why. But, if you ever meet someone who knows about that, tell me.
Well, actually, I know personally the lady who used to cook for Osho for many, many years, Ma Mukti, and she lives in Dehradun, and she's still in the body. She's a beautiful, lovely lady, one of the most beautiful person I've ever met in my life. I'd love to get her on the show, but she's in India. I don't think she has Skype. So we are trying our best. We are trying to get her on the show. And she told us what Osho at, because we live there in the commune, so we ask this question.
There you go.
And I hope to put it on record. But anyway, it was, I'll leave it a secret till the time.
Okay, you leave it a secret. Okay, you can't even tell us one thing he used to love, any particular vegetable.
I'll tell you offline. So we keep
okay, no worries.
Okay, so it's been a real pleasure. It's been really exciting. I really love chatting with you. And thanks for your fresh, new, vibrant energy. And I send you lots of love. And I hope you're healthy and safe. And thank you for being part of the Love Osho podcast.
Thank you so much. It's so sweet to hear from you guys, and that you want to bring this positive Osho love into the world in this format. It's very grounded and very practical, and I look forward to hearing your podcast. And thanks for asking me to be interviewed. That was great fun. Lovely to meet you. Good luck.
Thank you. It was fun. Lots of love. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.